If you are sitting at home next to your radio, you're hearing the music faster than you are if you're in the hall.
Listening for the secret. Searching for the sound. This is The Sound Podcast with Ira Haberman.
Well, I'm damned if I do, and I'm broke if I don't. Learn to work in this earth, spot its faults and all this. Wasted time in this precious life. How much longer till I take the fall? Cause I'm damned if I do, and I'm broke if I don't. There's a man who makes the call. Says, come down, son, I'll give you a job. Just read the paper and install. It'll take your life, make some light, and still love you. Learn to work in this earth, spot its faults and all this. Wasted time in this precious life. How much longer till I take the fall? Cause I'm damned if I do, and I'm broke if I don't. In this world I've ever known. Kiss on the cheek and don't be gone too long. Take some time and lose our prime to the bad news. That we're damned if we do, and we're broke if we don't. Learn to love in this world. Wasted time in this precious life. How much longer till Cupid's call? Cause I'm damned if I do, and I'm broke if I don't. Well, we're damned if we do, and we're broke if we don't. Yes, I'm damned if I do.
You've been listening to Broke, the first single and indeed the first song off the forthcoming Horseshoes and Hand Grenades record, Miles in Blue. If this pandemic and the general malaise of 2020 has taught me anything, it's to be prepared for just about, well, anything. So when word broke earlier this week that we would be getting some new music from Horseshoes and Hand Grenades sooner rather than later, I was psyched to hook up with Adam Gruhl of the band to talk about the new record, Miles in Blue. The band's forthcoming release, due out November 25th. Of course, aside from talking about music and the record, we had time for Gruhl's other project, Barons and Gruhl, and obviously the Green Bay Packers. Adam and I spoke as he was making his way around Wisconsin to a video shoot in Milwaukee. Adam, thanks so much for taking the time. The Ode was your fourth record. It came out back in 2018. So I'm curious to know what's taken so long for us to have a new record from you guys.
Well, you know, basically what happened is, you know, we cut this in early 2019, this really cool kind of serendipitous experience where we had the days that we booked in this cool studio, Pachyderm, over in Minnesota. They ended up being the 6 days leading up to that crazy full supermoon eclipse really crazy thing. We got in there and we realized, oh my gosh, the last day we're in this studio is this eclipse. It's kind of like this cool metaphorical thing. So we pounded that album out. We both recorded it and mixed it in 6 days. Had a really cool experience. And I remember doing the final listen right during that eclipse, you know, drinking beers and listening. It was really cool. And then from there, you know, we went on tour in February, and we ended up getting the news that Russ was going to have, he was expecting the first horseshoe baby. And, you know, we decided that we needed to just kind of suss out how we were going to release the record, because we wanted to be able to tour on it, you know. It's such a big part of the success of an album these days is going out on the road and, you know, having a 150-day year where you hit all these places. And, you know, that's really where people end up buying your physical vinyl and your CDs. And so we were, Russ, you know, as a credit to him, wanted to be home, you know, with his wife during the later part of the pregnancy, and wanted to be there when the kiddo was younger. And so we were like, well, let's just hold off and then let's tour on it when you feel ready. And, well, sure enough, when it would be time to go tour on it, a pandemic hit. So then we were like, okay, well, let's, you know, we try to take it pretty easy, you know, and try to not stress out too much about these things. And, you know, when the pandemic hit, we were aware, hey, we've got this record in the hopper. Like, what are we going to do? And over time, as this whole situation has kind of shook out, we're like, you know, people need music more than ever. Music is such a cool medicine. And we're like, well, maybe we should drop it now, you know, because people maybe need some tunes. They maybe need some healthy distractions to get them by. And so we were like, let's do it. Let's do it here in 2020. It's been a bizarre year. Let's help save 2020.
Well, it is a complete record. It's 18 tracks, each one of them different than the other. This really is a cohesive record in terms of the amount of content, but also the different sounds. I'm curious, was that intentional to try and mix up the sounds? I mean, you know, from one song to another, there really does seem to be a difference, all within keeping within the bluegrass tradition, but, you know, very far from one another as you skip through the tracks on the record.
Yeah, you know, like, Horseshoes as a band, we have 5 different songwriters in the band. And, you know, even when we first started, everyone kind of came from a different musical background. And so, you know, what really ties us together is just that we're friends who play acoustic instruments. We didn't, you know, a lot of bands get together and say, hey, we're going to play progressive bluegrass. But, you know, that was never really a thing. With us, it was just playing music on instruments that we could easily transport from place to place. Right. And so I think with this record especially, all this material, you know, got brought to the table, and we didn't really not record any of it. Basically, you know, a number of songs got brought to the cabin. We always meet up at a cabin and kind of imagine what the record will sound like, and, you know, start rehearsing the tracks and whatnot, so we can go into the studio feeling ready to go. And this time when we brought all these tracks, we're like, man, there's so many good songs, like, let's just record them all. And so that's what we did. And that's, I think, why you have that vibe where, you know, you get kind of an eclectic sounding record. Is, you know, really we're focused on serving the song. You know, we want, everybody comes in with these kind of unique 5 songs, and we want to do our best to is fulfill that individual's vision of the song while also putting a little bit of our own energy in each song. So that's where you get this feeling that everything is, there is a continuity there, yet at the same time, there's a broad spectrum of sort of musical feels going on in the album. I know what you're talking about for sure.
Part of that is also that you have so many different singers in the band. You have five songwriters. How many different singers are there in the band, like lead vocalists?
Everybody sings. I mean, everybody sings lead, you know, on this album. Dave, I don't think Dave has ever sung lead on an album up to this point, but he sang Troubadouring Musician.
Yes.
Which is a fun track towards the end.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's a cool part of it too, is, you know, when you've got all these folks singing, you get a different feel because of that. And, you know, we all sing harmony and stuff together too. So, I mean, that's really fun. It's Sam, you know, Sam's got a couple songs, our bass player, that he wrote on this album, Never Anew and Better Never Nor Still. And those tracks are super cool. And he hasn't written past for the band. And so it's been really cool to see those songs kind of come out and blossom. And they're a couple of my favorite tracks on the record.
What about your songs? What were some of your songs on the record?
Well, you know, I had Cheyenne, Stardust, what else is on there? Never Broken, Picking Up Steam, The Devil's Trash. So I actually had a lot on the record. Songwriting is a big part of my life. I think it's kind of how I process various time periods and various emotions. It's a medicine for me to create. And then ideally, you know, people hear these songs and it helps them too. Music's a big part of my life. And I know it is for a lot of people. So, I hope my biggest goal in life, I think, is that these songs might help people get through some rough times or make the good times feel a little better.
Talk to me about how you hooked up with Chad Staley. We're big fans of Chad, and we've had him on the show, and we're big fans of everything he touches, quite frankly. How did you all hook up with Chad?
Well, Chad, like me and like the rest of Horseshoes, is a Scotty. And, being in the music industry, we had known of one another for a while, but mainly I was friends with his brother, Chubba Staley, who played in a band called the Smokin' Bandits. And the Smokin' Bandits, long story short, were the first band that I ever was on stage with. They had me up to sing Big River and Lonesome L.A. Cowboy when I was about 13 or 14 at a barn dance in the Driftless Hills outside of La Crosse. And so him and I became friends. And then eventually, he told me, hey, you really got to connect with my brother Chad. And Chad and I hit it off immediately, so much so that we actually started a band called the High Hawks. Which has Vince Herman from Leftover Salmon and Tim Carbone from Railroad Earth, Brian Adams from Dead Fish Orchestra, and Will Trask from Great American Taxi. So, you know, Chad and I really, like, he's just somebody who I really respect on both a personal and a music business level and as a musician. So when it came time to produce this record or to create this record, we wanted to go with somebody who was going to have a real laid-back approach and who was going to create an environment that's conducive to creating music in a comfortable way, you know, good vibes. And, you know, we've done enough. This is our fifth record. We've done enough to know, like, we want to go in there and have a good time. We don't want it to be stressful. We've done that record, you know. And we want to go in and have fun and feel good. And Chad was so epic at that. He's just somebody he's got the ability to be like kind of a social chameleon, where he can be like the person that each individual needs in a moment. He's just so good at that. I saw him really manage the session, really keep people's vibes up, and he's got a great ear and great ideas, and I really appreciate all of his work, and he's a big part of this album. It's got that Chad Staley mellow vibe for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm curious, when you have five people in the band who all want to contribute, whether it's songs or vocals or their own instruments, is it Chad's job to keep everybody on their toes, or do you guys kind of do that on your own and sort of let Chad just coach you?
You know, I'd say it's a little bit of both. You know, the thing about Horseshoes is we're a little different than your average group, because we were like best friends really before the band became a business. You know, we were just like five dudes who liked playing together, and then we started playing out, and it was this really natural transformation. And so, you know, we've always liked one another. So, you know, a lot of the ego in that context is sort of stripped, and everybody's pretty laid back and wants people. If people feel strongly about an idea, we always pursue it. You know, I think that's a good rule of thumb. Tim Carbone from Railroad talks about how if somebody's got an idea that they feel strongly about, you should try it, you know, and that's just like basic respect. But, you know, I think it's like any relationship in day-to-day life. You know, you give respect, you get respect, and you kind of, you make that a key foundational component of your band, and all those other things kind of fall into place. Now, of course, like brothers, you have these moments where you want to kick the crap out of your bandmate.
Right.
And that definitely happens in Horseshoes. I think me and Colin have been pretty close to a full-on fist fight before.
Oh, wow.
But, no, I mean, but we love each other, you know? So, I mean, it's not like a bad vibe sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But Chad is great at when he, you know, sensing a disconnect, you know, when he can see, like, okay, everybody isn't on the same page. And sometimes, I've learned this from him, sometimes you can get everybody on the same page just by sort of synthesizing the context without saying anybody's wrong or right. You know, just kind of saying, okay, so we're going for this, 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 this. And I think that's part of being a good producer, is figuring out how to say things that everybody can digest to create a good outcome.
Well, you would think that, you know, 10 years into this, you guys hopefully wouldn't come to fisticuffs in the studio, but you'd be able to, you know, even if it's in a fun and loving way, you'd be able to put these songs down, because you enjoy the songs and you enjoy making music with everybody.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's always been that way, you know, and I think over time, what's mainly happened with Horseshoes albums is our, you know, our musical toolbox has grown. You know, we're different than we were, you know, when we first recorded Another Round, you know, almost 10 years ago. You know, I remember, for instance, I could only play hard, you know, and I would break tons of strings. And now it's like, I don't think I ever play hard or sing very hard. You know, you just start to, you know, you start to come into yourself, both as an individual musician, and you grow closer, obviously, in time, and your styles kind of start melding. And man, you know, Sam said it at one point, our bass player, just that, you know, he feels like this is a record where, you know, we've all been changing. You know, I think as a human, I think a lot of people start to feel a shift in their life in their late 20s. you know, to early 30s.
Yep.
And, you know, that's the age we're at right now. And, you know, some of that attitude of, you know, invincibility that you have as a youngster, you start to shed that and maybe you become a bit more humble in the context of the world around you, and you start to feel those little vulnerabilities in life. And then maybe that's come out a little bit in our songwriting here. And also 2018, you know, we did this in the earliest days of 2019. 2018 was our busiest year ever as a band. Yeah. You know, I don't know if we played 200 shows, but it had to have been close, you know? So going into this time period, we were both well rehearsed and probably pretty tired. Like after being, you know, taking time during this pandemic to settle down and get back to fishing and, you know, sleeping a lot. I'm like, wow, I feel way different than I did then, you know? And so with that being part of it, I think that part of what's encaptured in this element is this this record is this element of busying ourselves to this point where you don't even know you're busy. And then you come home and you realize a tree is quite a bit bigger than it was when you were last there, you know, or your parents have a little bit more gray hair. And so I think that sentiment, which is not just something that a musician would feel, but rather something we all feel through time, is, you know, we busy ourselves. We get so worked up in our job or, you know, whatever it is we're focused on, that, you know, suddenly we realize we're older and that time's moving by. And so I think there's a lot of that in this record too.
It's interesting. There seems to be a lot of controversy this week that the CMAs were earlier this week, and there were a few people left off of the remembrance. There was nothing about John Prine. And I know that upset a lot of people, including Jason Isbell, who's been very vocal about it. And I think to other people, Sturgill Simpson's come out and been really upset about it. And lots of people have been really upset about it. I understand that you guys are a bluegrass band, but you're part of the country family, and you did make mention of it on your Facebook page. Has country music sort of taken a weird change, a weird shift, in that there are traditionalists who play, you know, like, let's call it classic country or bluegrass or other roots type music in the country genre, and then the top 40 country, for lack of a better word? Are we at this point now where there's sort of two distinct camps in the country world, and you don't all get along that well?
I don't know. That's a really good question. I mean, I'll say this. It's complete and utter bullshit that they didn't mention John Prine or Jerry Jeff Walker, right, in the country music. I mean, that's wicked twisted. You know, as far as there being two different camps, I don't know. I think that, you know, it's weird because I think that a lot. I think if you talk to Florida Georgia Line, for instance, who couldn't be more different than Horseshoes and Hangernids or Sturgill Simpson? Right. I think if you talk to them, they probably love John Prine's music and probably love Jerry Jeff Walker's music, if I had to guess. You know, and so I don't know, man. In this day and age, like, this election and the political climate has really reminded me that we need to look at how we're similar, more than constantly talking about how we're different. And I mean, I just think as an organization, you've gotta respect, like, literally some of the greatest songwriters that have ever lived publicly. I mean, that's all I really want to say about that. I don't know that there's two different camps, and I don't know that they're at odds. I think there's a lot of similarities. Like, look, I don't like listening to Florida Georgia Line or most country music that's on the radio, But some people do, and that's cool. And I know, like, even some Horseshoes fans probably really like modern country music. And I don't, it, you know, if you, if that's what you like to listen to, listen to it. I mean, I don't like it. I love Sturgill stuff, and I love Jason Isbell's one of my favorite songwriters. But, you know, those guys were close friends with Prime, you know, and were close friends with Michael, or with, I don't know why I keep forgetting his name, Jerry Jeff Walker. Friends with, you know, some people who you respect as being some of the greatest songwriters to ever live. It's going to be upsetting, and it's going to be personal. So, I mean, I feel for those cats. They're undoubtedly sad that that's our reality. They want, you know, credit to go where credit's due, as do we. But, you know, as far as there being two separate camps, I know what you're getting at, but I don't want to focus on that kind of thing.
No, fair enough. We should also remember that Billy Joe Shaver just passed away a couple weeks ago too.
And yeah, Billy Joe. Yeah, exactly. Man, I want to live forever. I want to cross that river. Yeah. Chad was briefly managing him.
Wow. Aside from this great album, which is great, by the way, I've had a chance to listen to Miles and Blue a couple times now. And it is, it, I mean, so many. Cheyenne is a great song. You know, you mentioned, I love Chippewa River Home. You mentioned some other great ones. The single's great, Broke. There's lots here to dig into. And these aren't, you know, long songs. You know, there's 18 songs on the album, and I think the whole album clocks in under an hour, which is great, because there's all these fun shorties that are, you know, easier said than done. Great song, gets the message across. And it's 2.5 minutes of fun and frivolity. But you're busy. Aside from Miles and Blue, there's a High Hawks record that's coming out soon that you've been involved with. And there's this comedy album with Barons. Tell me a bit about the Barons and Gruel experience and this record, Unthawed.
Yeah. So, you know, Charlie Barons is... For those of you that don't know, he's a pretty well-known comedian in the Midwest, certainly more so in Wisconsin than anywhere else. But he's hilarious. He does these great short skits, and he talks about some of makes light of some of the goofy components of Wisconsin and Midwest and kind of country culture all across America. And, you know, him and I became buddies. We actually had a hoot of a couple nights down there in Nashville, and we ended up pounding beers pretty good one night and waking up, I think, still buzzed and getting into the recording studio. And that's where we cut the first track for the album. But, you know, he's a really special guy and really a thoughtful fella, you know, and it's been tough for him. As it has been for a lot of us, the nature of the political and social climate with everyone being so divided. And so there's a little bit of that encapsulated in the record, you know, just discussing like the importance of getting back together and focusing on, you know, some of the things that make us all American, you know, and that we can all appreciate. And so there's that, but there's also, you know, some goofy stuff. There's a couple Packers songs and you know, some stuff like there's one called Sandbar that's just about getting out in sandbars with your friends. So it's a really fun record. It was really cool working with, you know, a comedian because it presents a whole new artistic approach. You know, comedians look at art differently than a musician would, so... You know, it was fun for him to kind of bounce back and forth on ideas. And I'm really happy with how the record turned out. It's basically a country record. I think it's fun, you know, and it's got like Andy Thorne plays on some of the tracks from Leftover Salmon, and Greg Garrison from Salmon plays bass on the entire record. Hunter Deacon from John Stickley Trio's the drummer.
Wow, it's quite a
cast. Eric Deutsch, who was in Leftover Sam and is now the Dixie Chicks keys player. He's on there. And Danny Mitchell, who's Miranda Lambert's keys player, is on there. So it's really a fun record, man. I'm stoked for people to hear it.
Kind of your answer to Ween's 12 Golden Country Greats, right? I mean, that's...
Kind of like that. It's definitely got a little bit of that humor to it. It was interesting recording it because a lot of it was done remotely, you know, just people recording from home. So that was cool. It's nice to see how different people are reacting to this climate we're living in and how art is continuing to flourish despite the difficulties surrounding it.
Well, technology is really what's brought us closer together, right? I mean, we feel so far apart, and yet technology has really brought us together for board meetings, but also to make music and pal around, which is great as well.
Yeah, to do podcasts. Right now, I'm driving down the highway in Springer, Wisconsin, talking to you.
Right.
On a Zoom call. I didn't even know you could do it like that.
So... The record comes out the day before Thanksgiving, I think. Are you planning to do any live streaming or any live shows? How do you plan to promote this record, aside from being on the Sound Podcast, of course?
Well, you know, we're really taking the Sound Podcast as the first and biggest step. Thank you very much, by the way, for having me. We're focused on, you know, using what's available to us in this time period. So, I mean, we're really working on music videos, getting some cool, fun stuff released that way. We're really releasing this ground from the ground up, you know. We're like, we're not using a label. We're literally quarterbacking the entire release, just like reaching out to friends and contacts over time. People who have done articles and enjoyed Horseshoes before. We really want to do this as a grassroots thing, which is partially like in homage to, you know, how we started as a band. We don't have management anymore. We ended up becoming self-managed right at the beginning of the pandemic. And so we really want to kind of take ownership over our entity as the five of us friends. So, like, Colin, for instance, is working on a music video right now for Sam's song Never Anew. And, you know, we're all sending emails and notes out to various radio stations and various press contacts and just kind of doing it from the ground up. And that's fun in a way. It's exhilarating to get to kind of grab the bull by the horns and, you know, work on your own project. You know, it's really empowering. So doing that, and then we are going to do on December 5th, we're going to do a big old free live stream album release show. We're setting up a living room in a barn in central Wisconsin, blasting some space heaters and working with Jamgrass TV to get the show out to everybody. I mean, we're not going to do a pay-per-view. We want everybody to watch it, despite, you know, economic challenges. We want people to be able to hear the music. And if people are able to donate, they will. And, you know, it's important to us that people get to hear the music and that it can be the medicine it's made to be.
Speaking of medicine, the Green Bay Packers are 6-2.
Damn right.
And looking good in the NFC North. What's going to derail these guys from making it to the Super Bowl this year?
Oh, man, I hopefully nothing. I worry about injuries, of course, always, you know. But the vibe is really good around him. It's cool to see Matt LaFleur. It feels like he's built a culture on the team of, like, positivity. It always seemed like, when McCarthy, like, at least the latter part of the McCarthy era, it seemed like Aaron Rodgers was always pissed and, like, just, like, nobody looked like they were ever having fun on the field. And now it looks like it is fun, you know. And LaFleur, I think that probably comes from him. and his leadership. Actually, on the Barons and Gruel record, we've got the second to last track is called LaFleur.
Yeah.
And it's you know, LaFleur, the flower of the frozen tundra.
That's great.
We sent it to the backers, but we never heard back. So I don't know what that has to do with.
Well, the good news is it hasn't affected the record, right? They're still playing great, so.
Yeah, there you go.
Any chance with Aaron Rodgers at the helm? You know you have a shot, right?
It's true. He's badass.
Hey, dude, thanks so much for taking the time. Really appreciate it. I know you're on your way down to shoot some video, but you've spent a half an hour with us or more. Congratulations, first of all, on a great record. I really enjoy Miles and Blue. And everything else that you're doing is just a lot of fun. So thank you for the record. Thanks for keeping on keeping on during this past year, which certainly can't be easy for a band that makes their dough touring. And hopefully you've made the best out of this downtime so that when you're able to get out on the road again, you can do it in a big way.
Picking up the
email when we wrote you. We appreciate it.
You're a great guy, man. I'm really, really grateful for your time and for doing this podcast and supporting, you know, independent musicians. It really means a lot to us all in the music community. So thanks for being you, and thanks to everybody who takes the time to listen to the podcast.
People can pre-order the record, right, by going to the website. Is that right? You can pre-order vinyl and the CD at hhgmusic.com, right?
That's correct. Yeah, we got both a physical pre-order for the vinyl and for the CD. The CDs will get shipped out right away, but I think the vinyl will be about mid-December. And then you can do the MP3 thing on iTunes, but remember, you can't roll a doobie on an MP3.
That right there, that's strong words to live by. Thanks, dude. Thanks for taking the time, and good luck with everything, all right?
Thank you very much, Aaron. Talk to you soon, man.
What a terrific guy. Miles and Blue is a must listen, and I'd encourage you to get the vinyl and support independent musicians who have been hit supremely hard this year. For more on the horseshoes and hand grenades, visit hhgmusic.com. Before we leave you, let's listen in on a track from the Barons and Gruel record. Here is Ope Nope.
Old dirt road, going full throttle. Put the pedal down, spending time like a bottle. Lost weeks, days, years, trading time for fears. Funny how tomorrow disappears. I don't know. Have we lost all hope? Ope Nope. Let's build a spire down by the river. Go swinging on a tire with a couple of good friends riding high. We've all got troubles. Friends, I know it's a troubled earth, but we've got each other for what it's worth. It's every dollar, dime, and golden flake. I wouldn't trade your friend for anything, but maybe tonight you are too busy for a drink. Ope Nope, let's build a spire.
'cause I know there's a great divide. It runs through this country without a rhyme. Open your eyes and look around. They split us up to tear us down. Hate flooding the dream, we forget how to swim. Oh, no, let's build a spire down by the river. Go swinging on a tire with a couple of good friends riding high. We've all got troubles, let's give them to the wind and let the night air come and take you in. Oh, no, yeah, buddy, we're just fine, loving on river time.
You've been listening to the Sound Podcast. Technical production by Adam Karsh and Andrea Ruse. Inspired by the music we love. For more, visit thesoundpodcast.com.